a melanated mom, working hard as can be. I show up for my children while showing up for me. I'm a melanated, melanated, melanated mom.
Hey, mamas. I hope everyone is doing well today. Actually, it's nighttime for me. I am truly exhausted. The only reason I'm meeting you on the front end of this podcast today is to let you know that my guest, who has written a series of children's books that fall under the umbrella of My Little Banker, financial books for children, is going to offer my audience 10% off of your total purchase if you buy books with her. So if you want to save 10% on her books, use the code MAMAS at checkout, M-A-M-A-S, and you can save 10% on her books. That's all I wanted to tell you. I want to hop right into the interview. I pray all is well. I pray that you have a great week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Hi, thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Melanated Mom Podcast, where we raise creative, innovative, and independent thinkers, but in the process, we do not forget about ourselves and our own dreams as mothers. Today, I would like to welcome Rachelle Solomon to the podcast, author of the Little Banker series and new podcast host. How are you, Rachelle?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you so much for having me here today. Thank you.
I'm so excited to have you here. Like I told you, you're my first financial guru, and you're speaking to children about finances, so I'm excited to hear what you have to say today.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I know my audience will be excited, too. So we can hop right into the interview. I would like you to tell my audience a little bit about you, married, kids, all that good stuff.
Okay, so I am not married. I'm a single mother of two boys. So I call myself a money mompreneur sometimes because, yes, I teach, you know, about money, but I am mostly a mom. So I call my kids are my little guinea pigs, and everything that I teach in the streets, I test on my kids first just to make sure that, you know, it's a plausible and that kids can really comprehend what it is that I do. I started my money journey, the one I'm on right now, about 7 years ago, where I started actually teaching kids about money. That part didn't actually happen until about 5 years ago. So what thrusted me into this land of kids and finances is me being in a mess of financial state of doom. Like, and sometimes when I talk about it, I cry. And sometimes when I talk about it, I laugh. So
look, I think like at one point or another, we have all been in those spaces and those places where it feels like financial doom. And for me, I know that financial crisis is such an anxiety inducing place to be. Like, that is the one thing that will wake me up in the middle of the night, you know, and just have me on pins and needles. So I can appreciate the fact that you want kids to learn about this early, because I think it really does start young, you know, and when you have that sense of saving and spending and just how to go about like really managing your finances as well as a young person, it carries over into the next part of life. So like I said, I'm excited to see something like this. I have not seen anything like this as of yet. So you are paving the way, girl.
Wow. Thank you so much. You know, for me, it started, like I said, with my journey of being, having that feeling of financial doom. And you said something really like fascinating right there. Like, you're right on point. It's something that can wake you up out of your sleep, but it's also something that can keep you from even going to sleep. And so when you get into that anxiety place or that place of nervousness or embarrassment or stress or fear, you know, all of those emotions are connected to your finances, but they're also connected to your health. So for me, what really triggered it is I had my first child. When I was pregnant with my first child, I had a high-risk pregnancy. And so I had to quit my job. So the doctors literally said, your job, or your chow. You pick. And so I picked my chow because I didn't have any, for one. And then two, you know, who says that to a mom who's, you know, never been a mom or whatever. So it was a decision. And it wasn't a very hard decision for me to make in that moment. But I had like a snowball trickle down effect where I lost my job. So I didn't have any income. So I couldn't pay my bills. So, you know, things were stacking up. And so when I finally did add up all the numbers to figure out who I owe and how much do I owe, my number ended up being $400,000. So that was step one for me, was figuring out, you know, how much do I owe? And then step two was trying to figure out, come up with a plan. How do I get out of all this debt? $400,000 is a lot of debt for a single parent with no real income. And so as I'm figuring this stuff all out, there's a debt collector, one in particular, called me when my son was about 9 months old. And that was like my trigger. He called and he said some really mean and rude and disrespectful things. And he got me all in my feelings. And I was crying and I was angry and I was frustrated. And I hung the phone up on him. So it was like he didn't even really get to hear me cry, but he literally stole the joy out of my moment, because before the phone rang, me and my son was playing, and he was 9 months, and we were on the couch playing, and he was laughing and stuff. And so here I am off the phone now crying, and my son's on the couch still laughing and playing because he's still in that moment. And so as a parent, I felt protective. Like, I don't want my kids to feel this frustration. I don't want my kids to feel this anger. I don't want my kids to feel this embarrassment. This is shame. You know, all the stuff, all those negative emotions attached to money. So that is when I got the idea to actually start creating, you know, the financial literacy books. I think, you know, people, sometimes they find their purpose in a place when they're going through some struggles or difficulties. And I think that's kind of what happened to me.
I agree. We like do find, and it could go either way. This is the thing. And that's what I was going to say when you were talking, like sometimes it drives us to do better and sometimes it pushes us into a hole, right? We just bury our heads and we don't deal with it. We don't answer the phone calls. We don't look at our bank account. We don't open the bills. So it can just drive us to a whole nother place. So when I hear someone say, this motivated me to see that I don't want my kids, I made a lot of noise right there, but I don't want my kids to go in the direction, or I want to do something to prevent them from feeling like I'm feeling in this moment. So I'm happy to see that it led you to something different, and it's going to benefit a lot of people. So that's great.
Yes, I'm glad so you said that part.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Oh, no, I was going to say about it benefiting a lot of people, because when I started, I swear it was just a selfish intent. I really just wanted to teach my kids financial literacy to keep them from all those feelings. But as I started doing it, then I realized other people needed it too.
Doesn't it always start there, though? Because I feel like that's a place kind of that my podcast and other things that I'm thinking about getting into now started, is just because I didn't want moms to think that motherhood was the end. Like, we can get so doom and gloom, like, oh, my whole life is over. I'm like, girl, your life is just beginning. And if you thrust yourself forward into the things that you want to do, when your kids get to see you doing that, that opens up so much of a broad horizon for them, to let them know that they can do whatever they want to do. Not by sitting back and saying that, oh, I can never do anything else again. So I do believe that when we are in a place that we are feeling a little bit stuck, we can help people the most. So like I said, I'm looking forward to see how many people you can actually help with this series.
Right.
And speaking of, like, I want to talk a little bit more about the series. Like, what will people see in the series of books?
Okay, so the books themselves, each book has one financial lesson. So what it is you read a fun story. So you're just reading a regular story like you would to your kids any other time. But there happens to be a money lesson in there. And so one of the books talks about, you know, working or earning money. One talks about saving money. One talks about just being a giver. There's another one that comes out in like a week. And that one's about contentment. So it's not really, you're not teaching your kids to just, you know, be happy with what they got and never, you know, motivate to have goals. But you're teaching them when they hear a no is not for forever. And a no is not, you know, the end and end. And in this book, it's called Just What Alex Needs. And it's about, you know, that's for those lower middle income families where sometimes you love your kids to death and you do anything for them, but you just have to tell them no sometimes. And you need them to be okay with the no. And so I think that's more about what that book is about. So each book is just a story. And in that story, you know, there's a financial lesson. And on the back of every book is five questions. And those questions are conversation starters for the parents and the kids to just get a little further into the story itself, but then into the conversation of money. So I wanted the books to not just be something that you read to your kids, but I wanted them to become a tool that you could use in your household. The best part, though, that I've been getting is I've been getting emails and, you know, Facebook messaging, messages and stuff from parents who've ordered the books, and they're telling me how much their kids actually like the books. So that's good. Like, it's, you know, I wanted everybody to learn, and I didn't think about the enjoyment part until later. And as I'm getting messages now, and they're like, oh my God, my kid, you know, reads your book every night. Like, I have one book, it's called Gail's Day of Giving. It's just about a little girl who grows some flowers so that she could give away the flowers to her neighbors. And so in that book, it's my graphic designer, he was one of the first persons to purchase for me. And he said, my daughter, she has to have that book every night. I have to read it to her every night. He's like, I don't have a choice. I was like, what? He's like, no, you don't understand. That's her bedtime book. I was like, oh, okay. He's like, it's part of our routine now. If we don't read it, she can't go to sleep. I was like, wow, okay. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I started writing the books that day. I told you about what the collector called in that moment. And then what happened, though, was I didn't immediately write the book. I got my son up and we went to the store because I was trying to find a financial literacy book for kids. And I couldn't find one. All the books were like money books and, you know, a penny is a penny, a dollar is a dollar, and all that kind of stuff. It was like math books. Mm-hmm. That had like a money chapter. And so that wasn't what I was looking for. I was like, why isn't there just a fun story? And so then I went to the bookstore because I was going to buy something. Then we went to the library. And then I found, don't get me wrong, there was like the Bernstein books or the Bernstein Bear books or something. But they were like from the 70s or the 80s or something. And they were like, like, no offense, but they were like really long, like almost, right. You know what I mean? And very old. And I was like, okay, that's not what I need. And I wanted books that reflected my brown skin. And so I was like, okay, I just took this to another level of complication. You know what I mean? So this was all like 7 years ago. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, fast forward 7 years later, you can go on Amazon and find, you know, a handful. There's a handful of us. And I actually, have met a few since I've been on my financial journey mm-hmm. of authors, but most of them only have like one-offs, meaning they only have like one book. And so right now, you know, I'm still queen bee of the book, I guess, because I have like several. I have five right now, but
wow.
I have 26 that are written. I have five that are published, or like I said, one's coming out in like a week. So then that's one of the five. Yeah.
Congratulations. That's something to look forward to in my state, because not necessarily a series, but I do want to write a book. So right. To hear that you have five is it's motivation for me. So.
Hey, mamas. Okay, so which one of you are ready to start a podcast? Don't raise your hand because I can't see you, but I can tell you some of the amazing things that Anchor has to offer you in terms of making a podcast. First of all, Anchor is the easiest way that you could ever record your podcast. It's free. They have tons of creation tools for you to use right from your phone or your computer. They will also help you distribute your podcast so you have to do no extra legwork, and it can be heard on places like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and many other listening platforms. You can also make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need all in one place. So if you're ready to get started, go download the Anchor app for free at anchor.fm. And guess what? I can't wait to hear your podcast.
So in the books for the five books that you have written so far, is it five out or four? Which did you say?
It's five.
Okay. So in the five that are out so far, can you give us an overview of what each one is about?
Of course. Okay, so the first one I ever came out with was Shop, Shop, Shop. So it's about a little boy, Nathan, who's actually named after my son. There's no creativity there at all. Okay, so there's a little boy and he's spoiled, and he asks his parents for money. He constantly asks his parents for money, like every day. And so he would go and shop, shop, shop. And then one day he reached into his pocket to buy, and there wasn't any money in his pocket. So he went home. He asked his parents. His parents said no. He called and asked his grandparents. His grandparents said no. And so then he just wanted money. He didn't want to have to work for it. His mom gave him a whole speech about responsibility and, you know, having to earn money and everything. So he found a creative way after a yard sale that his family had to earn his own money, and then he started working. And so that's like the first story. The second one, Dale's Gift Giving, we kind of already talked about, where she grew some flowers with her mom and then she gave them away. Tim's Red Ruby is about a little boy who does some chores at home because he wants to buy something really nice for himself. And then he saves the money. And then once he saves enough, then he buys the item that he wants to buy. And those three are published and have been for sale for a while now. Shop, Shop, Shop was my first book ever. And then Tim's Red Ruby and then Gail's Day of Giving came out. And then last year I did the 25, which is 25 strategies to teaching your kids about money. And that came out last year as a birthday gift to myself. And it's a really simple, really easy read. It's only about 80 pages. And every page and a half or two pages maybe is a chapter. So it's a real easy read of things you can do with your kids, you know, outside of the box thinking and fun activities you can do with your kids to teach them about money. And then the last book that just came out is Just What Alex Needs. And we kind of talk about that one, just being okay with the no. And it's from a kid's perspective. So, you know, he asks his parents for stuff and they tell him no. But in turn, they do really fun things that don't cost them any money. Like his mom baked desserts with him, his favorite dessert, and he got to be a part of it. And, you know, his mom and dad was always there for all his, like, sporting events and stuff. And he realized, like, yes, they couldn't always buy him things that he wanted, but that they loved him very much and that their time was just as valuable as the money that they spent on him. So, and that one comes out in like a week. So by the time this airs,
I love the concept of that last one for sure, because like getting the kids to understand that, like the investment of time, you know,
right.
there's nothing like it. And sometimes we don't realize that until we're parents, right? Like all right. the stuff that our parents poured into us and all the stuff that we may not have been able to do that cost money, but all the time that they spent with us, all the events that they came to that surrounded us. So that's a great concept to teach early on. And right. so since you have been writing the books and talking more about financial literacy, how do your kids respond to finances?
Oh my goodness. I love this, the whole thing about this. Like my kids are just 7. Matter of fact, my one son. Okay, so I always have to tell people because when I get to talking about them, it gets weird. People are like, the math doesn't add up. So my one son is 7 and my other son turned 7 yesterday. And so they're like, what? How did you, are they twins? I'm like, no, they're not twins. So I adopted my nephew when he was two years old. And so okay. he's only about 2.5 months younger than my son. So I started teaching my biological son. I started teaching him about money when he was 1. And then as soon as I got my nephew when he was 2, I started teaching him about money. So what we used to do is we would do scavenger hunts around the house where if they found money, like coins, you know, pennies, nickels, dimes, whatever, we would put it in their piggy bank. And so I have a fun story. Like one time my sister, when it was about 2.5, maybe 3, they went to visit my sister for like a week, just, you know, a family vacation type thing, right? And she called me. She's like, what are you teaching these kids? I was like, why? She was like, they're walking around my house collecting coins, talking about money goes in the bank. She was like, luckily we had a little mason jar. So we just started putting all the money, all the coins they could find in the mason jar. I was like, because I'm teaching them that money goes in the bank.
I love that. Exactly. Yes. Like, don't get a penny in your hand and just feel like you have to go out and spend it. Yes. Money goes in the bank. I like that concept.
So what I tell parents is, you know, you can start teaching your kids at any age, you know, just use simple phrases and use, you know what I mean? Use things at the age that they're at so they can understand what's going on. And so, I started with them when they were 1 and 2, and now they're 7, and we have full conversations. Matter of fact, I just started a podcast called Podcast Kids, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it, but they're like my semi co-host because most of it is just me talking to them about money, and then other people get to listen in on how I teach my kids about money and then how much they already know. And it's funny because like sometimes like I'll go on stage and I'll speak, you know, and at different events, and I've been on stage and spoke and was speaking, and I look down and one of my sons would be standing beside me and I'd be like, what are you doing? And there's like, you know, nothing. So then, you know, just to not, you know, not, I'm not gonna say not mess up, but to make it a moment, I'll just start asking them money questions and they can answer them. And so then that gets the audience more involved because all of a sudden I went from somebody talking about a subject that I might be passionate about to proving that it actually can work. So, yeah.
And that's where it comes to life for people. By seeing that it actually works. Okay, so yeah, since you talked about the podcast, tell me more about it. So this is going to be conversations with your boys. That's going to bring it to a whole different level. So is it interactive, like a family thing? Like, is it for families to listen to together?
It is, actually, and that was my purpose of creating a podcast. So it is, it's short. It's only about 15 minutes because I know kids have short attention spans. And it is me mostly teaching about, you know, money tips and stuff, but a lot of the episodes is me talking to my kids about whatever the topic is. So, this week's episode, we talked about Santa Claus. There's one in there where we talked about, you know, giving and what does giving look like and why do we give? There's one where we talk about, you know, why do we even use money? Why don't we just get everything for free? Because my one son, so I have a spender and I have a saver. So my spender just assumes everything should just be free because he doesn't want to use any money and he just wants to get what he wants to get, you know? So we had a whole conversation about, you know, why is there money and why we don't use the bartering system anymore? And what is the bartering system? And, you know, so it's like we go deep, but we go deep in like 10 minutes, you know?
Right. Yeah. And this is going to be such a great thing for kids, though. It really is.
Yes. So they're learning. And then it's just passive. It's, you know, I'm not forcing anything and I ask them questions and you can hear us laughing and, you know, you can hear some I love yous and stuff like that. Because at the end of the day, we're still family and I still wanted whoever to listen to feel like they were, you know, listening in on a conversation. Like, I just want them to feel like they're sitting in the room with us while we're talking about these topics.
That's going to be good. I can't wait to listen with my kids. My daughter, who's 5 years old, has just gotten really interested in podcasts, and it's very hard to find a lot of things to listen to with them. And so here's another one that we can listen to together. So can't wait for that to drop. When is that dropping, Rachel?
Actually, the first episode drops on December the 8th and every 15th and 30th after that.
We are looking so forward to listening to that. I can't wait to hear it. And I wanted to ask you this. I meant to ask you at the top of the podcast, but so how do you think that your financial journey from when you were younger, like anything that your parents poured into you, how do you think that added to what you wanted to do as far as writing the book, something that they did that was positive or something that was negative that you saw that made you feel like, okay, this is something that I would love to see different in my children's lives?
Okay, so I have to be honest. My parents did the best they could with what they had. You know what I mean? Like,
as we all of our parents do, right?
Right. We were a I'm gonna say high low class family. Like, we was right around that borderline of middle class, but we wasn't the, you know, the three car household middle class, which there's a difference. Like, you don't understand that there's classes within the classes. Does that make sense?
Right. Right. Right.
So they were married since before I was born. So it was always a two income household. And they did what they could do, but they didn't teach us. They didn't teach us anything about money. And so, not that they were, you know, hoarding all the information. I really think that they didn't know what to teach us, if they even thought about it. And I feel like if your parents are 50 or older, that just wasn't a children's conversation. That wasn't something that was okay to talk about. Money meaning, when I say that money wasn't really something that you brought to the kids. Because even if you were having a money problem, the kids wasn't going to provide you a solution for that money problem. So why would you talk to them about it? You know what I mean? Like, where now I feel like we're in a generation where everything is okay. Everything is a conversation that should be and could be had with your kids. It's just about, how do you package it in a way where they can comprehend it? How do you present it to them where it's not too much? You know what I mean? So I talk a lot about positive language, positive money language. If you're always talking about lack of, which my parents didn't talk about money really at all around us, but if you're always talking about lack of money as a parent, then you're teaching your kids that there's a lack of money, which honestly, there's a cycle. Money's in a cycle. And it just depends on where your placement is in that cycle of how much you get. You know, how much value are you offering? And how much money are you getting for the value that you're offering? And so I feel like, you know, talking about, oh my God, we don't have enough money for this bill, it might be accurate But if your kids are hearing you in their mind, it's like, okay, I'm not going to ever have enough money for my bills. You know what I mean? Because they catch just as much as you teach them. They're always listening. They're always watching. So
I agree with that. And to set up the lack mentality so early on, it does put you in a place of just desperation concerning anything. I mean, if you teach anybody a lack mentality about anything, or in approaching it from a negative standpoint, then that's automatically where your brain goes, and that does not help you make money or it doesn't help you to do anything positive. So I definitely agree with that. And right. From a standpoint of just like being raised in African American homes, you know as well as I know that most African Americans don't feel comfortable talking about money in general, let alone right. letting their kids in on the conversation. So right. I totally understand, like, you know, saying like your parents didn't really talk to you about it. I kind of feel the same way in some respects. I mean, my parents, they did really well with money. They're living a great debt-free life now, and I am aspiring to be just like them. I feel like we didn't have a lot of conversations about money. And I find myself not being very comfortable talking about money either. And I just wonder if it was because we didn't talk about it much. And now it just seems sort of taboo, you know? And I don't want it to feel that way. Right. Because there's some shame connected to not having enough. But we've all been in positions where we haven't had enough. So I'm trying to get on that more open side, too. And I am praying that a series like yours will help me do that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Yes.
I feel like, you know, it's okay. It's okay to talk about it. And we can teach our kids. We can't always teach them what to do, but we can teach them what not to do. And I know a lot of parents are like, I have no clue about money. My personal finances is a mess. And I'm like, but you know what mistakes you made to get your finances to a mess. Teach your kids right. not to do that. And if you can teach
That's
your
very
kids
true.
Sometimes, yeah, if you can teach them sometimes what not to do. Like, if you have $100,000, $50,000, $20,000 in credit card debt and you're suffocating, teach your kids not to get credit cards. Or if you teach them to get them, teach them how to pay them off in full and make it sound like it's a mandatory part of having a credit card. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. It's not even an option. Yeah.
It's
that's
not
true.
Even an option. Like, you can teach them from what not to do if you don't know how to teach them what to do.
That's very true, because you know what position you don't want to be in right now. So, right. Like you said, you might not know what to do to get in the position that you want to be in, but you definitely know what you did to get in the position that you don't want to be in. So right. You can always start there. I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. I would like you to tell my audience where they can find your books, where they can find you on social media, and the name of your podcast, and where we can find that out as well.
Okay, so for my books, you can go to mylittlebanker.com, and on my website, you'll see all the books. You can go to the books page, and it'll show you all the books, the ones that are published and the ones that are not published. And for social media, you can go to My Little Banker. So I'm everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, under My Little Banker as well. I think LinkedIn is the only place where it's Rachelle Solomon. And then my podcast is podcastkids.com. So you can go there, and in about a week or so, it should be available on like iTunes and Spotify and all those fun places. So it's Podcast Kids, PodkashKids, Podcast Kids. And of course, you could always just go to my website, My Little Banker, to find it as well.
Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of the Melanated Mom Podcast. Let's stay connected. Read my blogs over at melanatedmom.com. Stay connected with me on Facebook at melanated-mom, on IG at melanatedmompodcast, and my new Twitter account at melanatedmom1. Talk to you soon.